Good day and welcome, Philadelphia and beyond. I'm Tom Donahue for Philly Freedom. Tom Donahue reports on WFYL 1180 on the AM dial, serving the greater Philadelphia area. So glad that you are joining us today. And I want to revisit the subject from the prior day. And there's a follow-up to this. And it was a huge story. And that was President Obama speaking, giving the commencement speech at Rutgers University, New Brunswick, New Jersey. But it was more about the message from the messenger there for the 250th anniversary of the distinguished school. Now, I'm a little biased here because I'm an alum. I graduated from Rutgers University, communications degree. Let me just continue on with this particular story, and there is a reason, there's always a rationale if I'm revisiting a subject, and there are certain perennial themes this program. Now, if you're tuning in just to get the news headlines, or all the headlines, or you want some objective point of view, and you want neutralized or neutered news, I'm not the guy, because I'm going to be dealing with America First. I'm a constitutional crusader. We're going to be anti-globalist, anti-internationalist, anti-transnationalist, anti-globalist New World Order, okay? One worldism. So if you want an Americanist point of view, a Jeffersonian point of view, and that's why I love the fact that our flagship station right here in Philadelphia is based in Jeffersonville. That's right, Jeffersonville, Pennsylvania. In the greater Philadelphia area, near King of Prussia, near Valley Forge. Lots of history. And that's right, we are broadcasting from the Cradle of Liberty. I'm right here in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. Liberty reigns supreme. And it's all about the defense of freedom, the expansion of freedom. So let's go back to this particular story. Obama was quoted, and he was knocking Trump without naming him, but it was obvious that he was the target. That meaning Trump, Donald Trump, the presumptive and will be the nominee for the Republican Party, the GOP. And it's going to be a grand old party. No, not grand as in like checkered pants and stodgy and no, Donald Trump, he's going to do it right. It's going to remind you, I think, a lot like, remember, was it Rocky III? And we sometimes play the James Brown bumper where, you know, it's an extravaganza. It's a spectacle. But it's going to be done, I believe, in a very tasteful and in a very classy way. But it's going to be lively. It's going to be a vibrant convention, not like the Romney convention that was like visiting a mausoleum. You know, that was dreary, except for the Clint Eastwood highlights. I take great umbrage, and I didn't have an opportunity yesterday to fully expound upon my displeasure and certainly, you know, my disagreements with the statements of the president, the imposter in chief, Obama. Yeah, he's really an abomination. That's the way I look at it. And yeah, that was another term that I think that I could take credit for. But yeah, let's get back to his speech at Rutgers and some of the highlights or the lowlife. Yeah, I mean, he really hit low water here. You know, so let's talk about the gutter snipe here. And if that offends somebody, well, then you're listening to the wrong program at the wrong time, because we are going to go after the enemies to our great republic. That's the way we roll here. So here is one of those statements that King Obama, and yeah, he sees himself as the king of what? I don't know. Maybe he wants to be the king of Kenya next. And yes, and I was totally in favor of what Donald Trump attempted to do, along with many others, in the birtherism. Yeah, you know. And again, I've been the type of broadcaster that has been highly critical of not just Obama and his birthplace, his birthright, and the fact that I don't believe he was a natural born citizen. Well, I didn't believe, and I still don't believe, that Romney is a natural-born citizen, and I don't believe that Ted Cruz is a natural-born citizen, because I think it's pretty simple. The Founding Fathers didn't try to complicate things. You know, if you were not born within the United States, then you're not natural-born. And you can say, oh, well, you know, if your mother was born here, your father was born here, but your physical birth takes place somewhere else, and you know, you can make all the excuses you want. You could be a citizen of the United States, but you're just not natural born. Okay, so Obama's target was Donald Trump, And he states, in politics and in life, ignorance is not a virtue. He told more than 12,000 graduates in New Brunswick, New Jersey. He said, it's not cool to not know what you're talking about. And that's not keeping it real or telling it like it is. It's not challenging political correctness. That's just not knowing what you're talking about. And yet, we've become confused about this. But there's some other things I want to go after, but let's just touch on this. Are you saying that Trump's not an educated man? He's not someone that, you know, is able to communicate effectively? Well, he just slayed, 16, 17 other candidates? You know, he defied all the odds. There's no odds maker that thought Donald Trump had an iota of a chance of being the last man standing, representing the GOP that is, you know, for the most part, the stodgy establishment is drawing a line in the sand. There are some that are coming to realize and having to at least give a tacit acceptance and acknowledgement that he is their nominee. But really, Trump is the nominee of the people. Power to the people. It is a populist groundswell. And that the people are taking over the party. Yeah. And the party's not taking over the people. And that's the problem. Do you remember all the outcry over the Tea Party? And I remember some conservative commentators, as well as elitists within the GOP, that said it's not a party. It may be considered a movement. But they said it's going to be part of our movement. And that it's going to be integrated, more or less, paraphrasing, into the GOP. That was the Tea Party. Sadly, there was heavy infiltration, and there was more or less an engineered takeover. Well, it was more or less a hostile takeover. That's really the term I was searching for, reaching for. And it really was, because, and I predicted this, that they were not going to allow the Tea Party to stand. And so if you've noticed, the media, as well as those in the political sector, have decided that it really doesn't exist anymore. There's really, you know, it was just a little blip on the screen. Well, you know how sometimes you can rename something, but it's still really the same energizing force? Just like the reform movement and the Tea Party movement, that whether it was a party or not, officially, unofficially, these people didn't go away. Sort of like saying that, oh, well, the unemployment rate is 5 or 6%, but magically they're all employed. No, they just have fallen off the unemployment rolls, and they're no longer factored in. Okay, and so they don't count. The millions upon millions that are unemployed and underemployed, they don't count anymore in the actual statistics, which is, you know, just sheer insanity. We're going to go to a break. We'll come right back. I am Tom Donahue for Philly Freedom. Tom Donahue reports. Hold tight. Back in mere moments. We are back. Tom Donahue on WFYL Radio. Thanks so much for joining us. Also, Red State Talk Radio and Talk Stream Live. And this station, this wonderful station, Jeffersonville, Pennsylvania, is working for your liberty, and so am I. Because that's what this program's all about. I'm a seeker of the truth. I'm a freedom fighter and liberty lover. And I'm an America firster. That's right, an Americanist. I'm so glad that we finally have a presidential candidate. That's the nominee of the GOP that will represent these particular interests. Pat Buchanan was the closest prior to that, but he just, you know, ended up being slain by Papa Bush, you know, King George, as he called him, and the New World Order. And Pat Buchanan, you know, I really hope that Pat gets the credit and gets the accolades and the acknowledgement for all that he did back in the time. And boy, he gave some fiery speeches. They're saying that in 92, those speeches and his staunch conservatism, that's right, and that his nationalism probably sunk the campaign of George Bush. But I would say that, no, George Bush Sr. sunk his own campaign, George Herbert Walker Bush, and he stopped for whatever reasons, conspiratorial or other, which I do believe he was talked to and was told to stand down, that he did not campaign hardly at all in the final stages of that campaign against Clinton, because Clinton was the new World Order guy, okay, NWO guy. So back to this, you know, I think that Trump has the education, and he has the knowledge, and he has the experience, and so I don't think anything that Trump is saying as it relates to the political realm is ignorant. Now, ignorant essentially means uneducated. Now, a lot of times people will use ignorance as the equivalent of rude, and that's they're two different things. And so when you say someone is ignorant, it has to do with being uneducated. And the fact is that Donald Trump is highly educated, and Donald Trump is supremely successful. And quite frankly, he proved his political wherewithal, his acumen, and his political force. He is a powerful political force. I mean, he's a phenom. Yeah, a phenomenon that is unexplainable. And it's uncomparable. And he's become incomparable. So that's the way I see it. So really, the statements that he makes, you can disagree politically. But these are not statements of ignorance. That way, you would have to say that Pat Buchanan was ignorant. You'd have to say that Ralph Nader is ignorant. Myself, Chuck Harder, we could go down the list, Ross Perot, many, many that have stood strong and tall and opposed NAFTA and GATT, believed in strong borders and culture. You have to say that Michael Savage is ignorant. Now, you start pulling together the collective mindset, the brain power, the brain trust of just those names and many more. So we're all part of we're the class of ignorance. Yeah, yeah. I think we could match very well up against you, Obama, because I feel I could outdebate you. I know Michael Savage could outdebate you. I know many others could outdebate you. But Donald Trump would dismantle you, and he's not the greatest debater. But he proved successful on the debate stage, so go figure. The president goes on to say he told the graduates at Rutgers University, "Those who say America was better in the past and dismiss the idea of building walls." He says, I guess it's part of human nature, especially in times of change and uncertainty, to want to look backwards and long for some imaginary past when everything worked and the economy hummed and all politicians were wise and every child was well-mannered, and America pretty much did whatever it wanted around the world, Obama said. Guess what? It ain't so. The good old days weren't all that good. Well, who uses the word ain't when you're addressing graduating seniors at a prominent university? And who uses like this kind of slang and this almost this hip-hop jargon? Now, again, I'm not in denial that Obama is an educated man. Now, some would say, well, you know, if you really look, he didn't release his transcripts. There was controversy in how he was selected. And then also, you know, how well he fared at these universities. I don't know all that. I don't have really time to spend on it. But the man is an eloquent orator and debater, although there are a lot of ums and there are a lot of pauses. And he does better off the teleprompter. But when he works a crowd, just like Donald Trump, And you can go back and look at file footage of when Obama was campaigning. He was highly effective. So, you know, I don't take away the strong suits of those that or the accomplishments of others. And so Obama is, I do believe, to be a highly educated and a very eloquent speaker when he wants to be, a motivational speaker when he wants to be. But this speech, I mean, he was trying to be cool with the students. Now, if Bill Clinton was trying to be cool with the students, it's because he'd want to be hitting on them. Yeah, he'd already pointed out the girls that he's interested in and said, give her this little note, like he did in with the troopers in Trooper Gate back in Arkansas. And believe me, all the womanizers, you know, a rat doesn't change its filthy habits, okay? And Bill Clinton still being pretty dang filthy and unfaithful in his marriage, okay? So people say, well, I don't want to hear about that. Well, you're going to hear about it because it's in the news, and it's not going to fall out of the news cycle. There was a time in America. It wasn't pristine and perfect for everyone, but there was a wholesome time. And there was a time that you could turn on the radio or the television or go to movies, and for the most part, it was pretty clean and it was pretty wholesome and it was pretty decent. And that there was a time that, you know, that many of us hearken back to. It's not to say I don't embrace the technology and some of the good things and some of the advancements. Absolutely. But Obama acts like that it's always been pathetic, and it's always been pitiful, and it's always been less than good. Now, there were good times, and there's good people, and there was a goodness about our culture. It wasn't perfect. Yeah, I mean, we're not in any way trying to condone racism or discrimination or things that were not quite godly and good and all that. And then he goes on here, meaning Obama. And he challenged the notion that Muslims should be banned from the United States. Hello, Donald Trump never said that it was going to be long term. He never said all Muslims. He just said there has to be a pause. There has to be a way of vetting. There has to be a better screening process. You know, what's so wrong with that? If you can identify that the majority of terrorist activities are coming from a certain group and a certain geographical region, you know, or certain countries, why should that not be factored in as it relates to our national security interest? But they're making it sound like that Donald Trump or others that talk like this are against all Muslims or all people of a particular faith or region. It's just not true. Then he goes on to say, isolating or disparaging Muslims, suggesting that they should be treated differently when it comes to entering this country, that is not just a betrayal of our values. That's not just a betrayal of who we are. It would alienate the very communities at home and abroad who are our most important partners in the fight against extremism. Now, it's interesting he uses the term extremism. It doesn't equate that with the Quran, doesn't equate that with Islam, does not equate that with Muslims and their culture and the prevailing disdain that they have, the utter contempt that they have for Americans, for those that are non-Muslim. But he won't call it Muslim or Islamic extremism. It's just a vagueness. It's like saying the word universe and not defining what's in the universe, okay, or the elements of the universe. I take great umbrage with the president that it's almost like if you live in, and there's these wonderful, idyllic, small towns where everybody knows their neighbors, that people really care about their communities, that really they care about their families, they care about their communities, they care about their schools, they care about, you know, everything that goes on. And so Obama's basically saying that kind of concept of neighborhood, of pulling together as communities that are, you know, the wholesomeness and the goodness that occurs now to a lesser degree in the past, to a greater degree, that he holds that in utter disdain or contempt. Well, let me just tell you, Obama, I hold you in utter disdain and contempt, okay? You know, I indict you for all the high crimes and misdemeanors and misdirection and the disrespect and all the dastardly deeds that you have created, that you have foisted upon the American people, our culture, and our constitutional republic. That's where I stand. You got it? Understand? Some would say, well, Obama didn't hear what you had to say. I know, but believe it or not, through the world of podcasting, through the world of streaming, through the world of the Big Brother surveillance, you know, the all-seeing eye that we now know. Well, it's really odd that over the years I told people that this surveillance, this NSA community was of great endangerment of our personal liberties and just our freedoms in general, and that I really did feel, based on the technology, that our phone calls were being monitored, that our all forms of transmission of communications were being, there was an oversight, and this overseeing eye, this big brother, and I was laughed at, and they said, "Oh, it's impossible," and that there's just nothing to this. Well, over the last several years, we have now found that there's a lot to it, and that all the emails and all the phone calls are potentially being listened to or read, and that there is tremendous encroachment, you know, and oversight. And that's the absolute fact. So just because someone is a trailblazer, someone perhaps is, you know, foresees or is able to interpret and bring information that is not readily available, sometimes people are just ahead of their times. And I like to think that, you know, I, based on my experience, based on my research abilities, based on my the powers of discernment, and I do believe the spirit, that sometimes we actually get it right before most others. And it's not about me being right. It's about being able to broadcast what is right and be able to give forewarning to what is right. Well, we've got a break coming up here. We have lots more to cover. I'm Tom Donahue, Philly Freedom. Hold tight, right back.
So, you love talk radio, then you'll love TalkStreamLive.com. TalkStream Live is always on, 24/7, with the best streaming talk shows. Find your favorite talkers and discover some new ones. It's free, readily available online or on mobile with any smartphone or tablet. Finding your favorite talk shows all in one place has gotten a whole lot easier. Just go to TalkStreamLive.com. Be sure to download the free apps from Google Play or the iTunes App Store.
Welcome back, Tom Donahue. Tom Donahue Reports, Philly Freedom on WFYL, fighting for your liberty and defending your freedom. So glad you can be with us. And we do want to thank our good friends at Red State Talk Radio and Talk Stream Live. And back to this particular subject at hand, Obama was referring to Trump as ignorant. Or anyone that would have an America firstist philosophy, you know, who is an Americanist and someone who's a nationalist, someone believing that there are boundaries, there are borders, and that we can still have bridges, but not floodgates, without any kind of filter, without any kind of sensors, without any kind of protectors of our homeland, our country, our culture. All those things should, and at least here, matter. Now, I went to the definition of ignorant, went to the dictionary during the break, and this is what the definition of ignorant is. Now, when some people use this, and I mentioned this a little bit earlier, they almost think that if you're rude, you're ignorant. They're two completely different things, and when someone says that, then I realize how ignorant they really are. But that's just, you know, it's a pet peeve of mine. Just like punctuation, just like good grammar, good syntax, and eloquence in one's writing and one's speaking does have some effect on me. And spelling errors, you know, even when I send something out, it drives me crazy. And I go, how did I miss that? Or maybe it's the spell check that's making the changes, or that you have rearranged parts of your sentence, and it somehow gets discombobulated. So it is a pet peeve. Okay, so the definition of ignorant: lacking education or knowledge, showing or arising from the lack of education or knowledge, unaware or uninformed. Does anybody believe that Donald Trump is not educated, knowledgeable? Does anyone believe for a moment that he is unaware or uninformed? Really? Having $10 billion of worth and creating most of it, not all of it, himself, through, his enterprising, ingenious ways, and being super successful, and certainly, doing marvelously well in the political realm. I mean, to be able to dismantle and disable 17 competitors is pretty phenomenal, quite frankly. That would be like being in, that fight game that, remember that movie with Brad Pitt, and there's been other people talk about the fight game, these underground fight clubs where people take on one after another, and it's like, and they used to do this in boxing many, many years ago where they had like sometimes matches that were 50 rounds, but this is like, he had like all these combatants, all these contestants, speaking of a reality show, and every single one was slain. Every single one, no matter what they threw at him, he continued to win, and he's a winner. But no, Donald Trump is not ignorant. This host here, yours truly, is not ignorant. Many people that have taken a position of nationalism and being an Americanist and believing in borders and believing in boundaries and believing in walls, that is at least to have some protective measure. Now, we can look at the papal experience in Rome. I mean, the Vatican has a wall. China still has a wall. You have, but more importantly, the White House is erecting their version of a vertical wall to further protect the White House grounds and the occupants that, there will be new occupants. Well, then again, there could be old if we don't rally around and get Trump elected. Now, remember, there could be a lot of rigging of these voting booths because we'll have to do a show on this. And I do remember referencing this back in prior programs over the years, that the company that does the that handles the machinery, the technology, and the tabulations of many of these electronic voting machines is foreign controlled and foreign owned. So good luck with that. So Trump should really be looking into that to make sure that the voting will be accurate, that will be representative of the people's votes, that there's not going to be a rigging of the election. Because, trust me, there's going to be a lot of duplicitous and a lot of underhanded and, quite frankly, unfair and unconscionable acts that are going to be committed against Donald Trump. Now, there's another article that I want to reference, and this is Donald Trump at his best on Twitter. Well, not all his best work has come at midnight or 2 a.m. on Twitter, but he's a counterpuncher. He does punch at times, but he's a better counterpuncher. So if you take any jabs, if you take, if you swing anything in his direction, you're gonna get swatted, or swatted back, I should say. There's gonna be a retaliatory effort on his part. So this was the tweet after Obama at Rutgers University criticizing him, and people say, well, he didn't say Trump. Well, he didn't have to say Trump. It was pretty overt. It was pretty obvious that he was referring to Donald Trump. So this was the verbatim tweet from Donald Trump in retaliation, in quotations. He says, in politics and in life, ignorance is not a virtue. This is the primary reason that President Obama is the worst president in the United States. He may be right on that. If he's not the worst, he's got to be, he certainly ranks with the bottom feeders. You're just tuning in, or maybe you missed that, or said, can you please repeat that? This was the quote in retaliation to Obama's remarks at Rutgers University, relating primarily to his accusation that Donald Trump is an ignorant man. He holds ignorant views. Again, for any of you dummies out there, and again, I'm going to say it, that if you think that ignorant means rude, it does not. Occasionally refer to the dictionary. So ignorance is essentially equating to being uneducated, uninformed. And that is not the case with Donald Trump. You can say that maybe his politics, in your view, is wrong-headed or headed in the wrong direction, or you know, it's unfair, or it's just something that you believe to be just flat out wrong. That's your prerogative. Let me just repeat the quotation, which is from the tweet that Donald Trump sent as a counterpunch, a retaliation to Obama and his speech. And the primary topic was ignorance. He says, in politics and in life, ignorance is not a virtue. This is a primary reason that President Obama is the worst president in the United States. There's no velvet glove here. I mean, it's all sledgehammer. It's all, you know, rock solid. I mean, you know, substantial punches when he hits. That's just the way Donald Trump rolls. But in Sunday's speech, Obama issued thinly veiled. It was thinly veiled. Okay, from the thin man. Yeah. So his thinly veiled critiques of Trump, who has dominated the race for the Republican nomination, but sparked controversy for his comments about the illegal immigration and Muslims, and for mocking his opponents with insults. Yaddy, yaddy, yaddy. Okay. Although he never mentioned Trump by name, President Obama decried how anti-intellectualism has swept and has seeped into the American political scene. Or I said American politics, whatever. That's close enough. I'm paraphrasing some of it. Now this goes on because this is a New Jersey paper. It's NJ.com. And it's a division of the Star Ledger in New Jersey. NJ.com also covers other papers within the state of New Jersey, the Garden State. And so it's expounding on some of the quotes from the original article that I share with you that came from CNN, their CNN politics. If you were listening to today's political debate, you might wonder, this is a quotation from Obama, where this strain of anti-intellectualism came from, Obama told Rutgers graduating class. In politics and in life, ignorance is not a virtue. The president also noted that isolationist policies such as Trump's proposal to build a wall across the U.S.-Mexico border and temporarily banning Muslims from America run counter to the nation's history as a melting pot. Well, the melting pot, according to Obama, it's become the crack pot, okay? Or maybe a crock pot, because it's not cracked up to be, it's not all that's been cracked up to be with what has been coming to the United States of America in the last decade or two. That's just the opinion I hold, okay? And I'm entitled to it. So that's how we became America, Obama said. Why would we want to stop it now? Because we're in total decline and total decadence and total debauchery. And the fact is that our standards have fallen, that our economy has fallen, that America's greatness is in decline. Yeah, so, you know, it's just like a company. Well, let's just let everybody work here. Oh, let's let everybody settle in our home. Yeah, let's have squatters. Yeah, there are standards and practices everywhere you go. Companies decide for a variety of reasons whether you are qualified, whether, you know, you will fit into their corporate culture. You know, in the dating world, you decide whether, you know, whomever that might be, and you might factor in looks, you might factor in intelligence, you might factor in personality, you might factor in a whole host of things as to why, you know, it could be the chemistry, it could be the connection, it could be the common ground, you know, but, you know, we are selective, meaning that we do discriminate. Now, it's different that when you talk about the government protecting against discrimination just because of one's skin color or because of one's religious creed, or sexual orientation as it relates to employment, as it relates to being able to dine somewhere, is be able to use public facilities. All that is a whole lot different than how we operate in our private lives, in our private interactions. So Obama thinks that, you know, having this cracked pot, this melting pot, this rotten pot that it's become, that it's just a wonderful thing. Now, the founding fathers didn't say, oh, let's create a melting pot and let's create a new country and settle in a new world. Well, as you know, there were indigenous people that were here, which became later the United States of America, from prior to that, the 13 colonies. Most of the inhabitants are those that are the ones that resettled, came from the Western European countries, and they came for a variety of reasons, some of economic, some of for religious liberty related reasons. And the majority, the vast majority, were of a Christian faith, different denominations, different religious sects, but they were Christian. So there was a lot of commonality. We're headed to a break. I'm Tom Donahue for Philly Freedom. Tom Donahue reports. Hold tight. We'll be right back. Good day and welcome, Philadelphia and beyond. I'm Tom Donahue for Philly Freedom and Tom Donahue Reports on WFYL here in the greater Philadelphia area. So glad you can be with us. Let's jump right into the subjects at hand. Obama, he just gave the commencement speech over the weekend at Rutgers University in New Brunswick, New Jersey. Rutgers is one of the oldest schools, the eighth oldest school in the country. It's a colonial college and has a very storied history. It became the state university years later, 1945, but it was a private school up till then, land grant as well. And what was so special about this is it's the 250th anniversary. You heard right, 250 years that this college became a major public research institution and one of the better schools. So Rutgers extended an offer 2-3 years ago, and Obama accepted to be the commencement speaker for the class of 2016, and that speech was delivered. Barack Obama decided to politicize, of course, not inspire, not motivate the students, but simply to use this as a political platform, which he has been a very divisive president, and this is exactly what you would expect from Obama as the president. Now, again, I'm a proud alum from Rutgers University, and believe me, I'm not faulting the school, because anytime you can have a sitting president, the president of the United States, be the commencement speaker, just imagine the PR mileage you get out of that. And, of course, both students are going to be of a liberal progressive bent. They don't know any better. And so this must have been a fantastic day for the university, for the student body. And they'll always look back on this. So this will be part of the historical record. Also historic was not only the President of the United States speaking at Rutgers University, the commencement speaker, but you also had in the neighboring state, the Keystone State, my home state, you had two major political figures attending the University of Pennsylvania right in West Philadelphia, or near close, I guess between Center City and West Philadelphia, but Philadelphia, nonetheless. And University of Pennsylvania is one of the older and more prominent and certainly Ivy League schools. Well, guess who was in attendance there if you weren't following the news? Vice President Joe Biden, who had, I believe, his granddaughter graduated from the University of Pennsylvania. And then one of Donald Trump's daughters graduating from the University of Pennsylvania. So you had the vice president, you had the presumptive and obviously the expected nominee for the Republican Party in attendance. Could you only imagine the security nightmares? I mean, it was all over the news. So both of those events generated a tremendous news cycle, were the leading stories, and I have a tie to both. So it was kind of interesting that my alma mater and my hometown, the cradle of liberty right here in Philadelphia, the Keystone State, had Joe Biden and Donald Trump in attendance, and then we had the President of the United States, the imposter in chief, which I have called for many years, as the commencement speaker at Rutgers in New Brunswick, New Jersey. Now let's get into a little bit more about the speech. President Obama took aim Sunday at the presumptive Republican presidential candidate Donald Trump while delivering the commencement address at Rutgers University, telling graduates to tout their knowledge and not brag about their ignorance. Though he didn't name Trump, Obama's target was apparent. Yeah, of course it was crystal clear. In politics and in life, ignorance is not a virtue, he told more than 12,000 graduates in New Brunswick, New Jersey. He said, it's not cool to not know what you're talking about. That's not keeping it real or telling it like it is. Well, that sounds like a real smart guy, doesn't it? That's really intelligent vernacular. He says, that's not challenging political correctness. That's just not knowing what you're talking about. And yet, we've become confused about this. Obama's comments at Rutgers echo similar shots he's taken against Trump, also without naming him. During recent appearances, the president also told the graduates to stand up to those who say America was better in the past and dismiss the idea of building walls. There we go again. I guess it's part of human nature, especially in times of change and uncertainty, to want to look backwards and long for some imaginary past when everything worked. Economy hummed and all politicians were wise and every child was well-mannered and America pretty much did whatever it wanted around the world. Obama said, guess what? It ain't so. The good old days weren't all that good. He also challenged the notion that Muslims should be banned from the United States, something Trump proposed in December. Isolating or disparaging Muslims suggests that they should be treated differently when it comes to entering this country, and it's not just a betrayal of our values. And that is not just a betrayal of our values. That's not just a betrayal of who we are. It would alienate the very communities at home and abroad who are our most important partners in the fight against extremism, the president said. Obama is the first sitting president to speak at Rutgers University, which has lobbied for the last 3 years to get him to speak at their commencement. Last week, Obama spoke at Howard University, and on and on and on. So he's speaking at several schools, but nevertheless, he was in our part of the country. He was at my alma mater, and it was, for many, a joyous day. For some, it was kind of a dismal day. But nevertheless, that's the news, that's the information. You know, that's Obama's politicizing. And that's Obama trying to be cool and hip at Rutgers University. Now, those that spent 4 years at a good school, dedicating themselves to becoming more educated, to becoming more articulate, more intelligent, and more prepared to take on the world and be successful, to speak like that, that's a great example. He's a role model? I think not. Well, I'm Tom Donahue. I speak only for myself, putting America first and New World Order dead last. Have a great night till we meet again.
So, you love talk radio? Then you'll love TalkStreamLive.com. TalkStream Live is always on, 24/7, with the best streaming talk shows. Find your favorite talkers and discover some new ones. It's free, readily available online or on mobile with any smartphone or tablet. Finding your favorite talk shows all in one place has gotten a whole lot easier. Just go to TalkStreamLive.com. Be sure to download the free apps from Google Play or the iTunes App Store.